soon.
Amen. You believe that?
Amen.
He's here.
Amen.
We can't see him with these eyes, but he's here.
Yes, sir.
I always think about that. Brother Branham said about Elijah, showing that his servant, the hills were full of the angels, and it's God is here right now.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, you're not 20 feet from your own theophany.
Right.
So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you so much. Lord, you give us this little time together. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to understand the message now. Job, as Brother Branham said, we should pray for revelation more than anything else. And Lord, that's what we desire, is revelation. Because with revelation, we know you, Lord. We know more about you. Lord, we come part of you in this hour, Lord. And that's what we're looking for. Every time we open the message, we pray that you'll just be with us now this morning. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. How many has read that message, Masterpiece? Brother Branham, if you ever get a chance to, you should read that or listen to that message. Brother Branham talks about, in that message, he talks about God loves art. And I thought that was an odd statement for him to say that. But, you know, if you think about it, God's the greatest artist there is. He's been creating and bringing things into being for so long. He has something he's working towards. He's got it in his mind. And he's going to have that vision that he has in his mind.
Yes, sir.
And in that message, the masterpiece, that's what Brother Branham talks about. He talks about how that Michelangelo had this vision of Moses. And I assume that God gave him that vision because the Jews have traveled from all around the world to see that Michelangelo of Moses. And they said that there's one that they went ahead and put these like heart rate sensors on people. And they had them come into the room and see Moses' statue for the first time. And there was like 90 something percent of them's heart rate went up. Because it was like they were looking at a person.
Amen.
And it was like a certain angle. And it was so real. And so all these years later, a statue that came from a man was still causing people's pulse to go up.
Amen.
Because it looked so incredible. You can read about that. I'm sure it's on the internet somewhere. You can look it up. But I thought about, you know, a real sculpture is not a statue, but it's real men and women.
Amen.
And I thought about the eternal sculptor, Christ. And so I just wanted to mention that before we started this morning, because I look at the message like God's painting them a picture. And there was a statement I read the other day. Brother Branham said that God was taking the things the way they were and taking them back towards the Word. So they don't look like the Word now. I mean, we look out here and we see death, and we see things, the seasons come and the trees, leaves fall off, and we see animals die, and we see people get old and everything. And we see all those things, and we know those aren't, Brother Branham said, those are not what God had in mind. He knew that would happen, but that was not his perfect thought. And so God is painting us another picture. And I thought about when Brother Branham said to Abraham in Genesis 17, I think it was, he said, walk before me and be thou perfect.
Amen.
And Brother Branham said that when he told Abraham that, he couldn't have told Abraham that unless he provided a way for Abraham to be that.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so I thought that was incredible. You know, what about the rest of the message? When he says something to us in the message, is he not telling us something that he has prepared for us?
Yes, sir.
And that he can bring to be and bring to pass?
Amen.
And so we're going to study a little bit about these two covenants, because I didn't want to leave these two covenants, and I want you to see how these two covenants are not just two covenants with two men. God didn't come make a deal. You know, people think about covenant, they think it's a deal. You make a deal, you know. But God made a covenant with Adam, and he made a covenant with Abraham. And they were not just with those men. And you think about the first one that he made with Adam. He made it just with Adam, but all of creation was under Adam. So if Adam fell, all of us are going down with him. And that's what happened. And so that covenant was a very serious covenant. And it wasn't that God didn't know that was going to happen. It wasn't that God didn't set it in place for it to happen. That's what he intended. Because God could not bring evil into the world. So evil had to be in the world somehow. And so if it's going to be in the world, man's going to have to do it himself. Man's going to have to lose himself. God can't lose him, is what I'm saying. So he set everything in place. He put Adam under a covenant that was not eternal. He put Adam under this, if you do this, Adam, then I'll do this. If you act this way and you keep this word, then I'll make sure that you have eternal life, Adam. And that's what he told him. And he knew that when he put Eve in the garden, what was going to happen. He knew it. When he told Adam and give Adam that covenant, he knew that the real covenant was in Christ.
Amen.
But he couldn't bring the one that was in Christ until there was a man that needed to be redeemed. So he put Adam under this first covenant in order to bring about a lost man. And then through that, he could bring the covenant, the true covenant. And so the covenant that God gave Abraham was eternal. It was predestination. He said, I've already done it, Abraham. It's already been done. I had it in my mind a long time ago. I've already laid it out exactly the way it's going to be. Let's just review that for a minute. So there was one covenant with Adam and one with Abraham. And I wrote these down on the paper. And the one with Adam was, if you will, I will. And the other one was, I will. I already have done it. The one with Adam was not eternal. And the one with Abraham was eternal. Don't you think that's kind of odd? That he gave Adam, at the beginning of creation, a covenant that could not be eternal. And it could not be eternal. What was the reason Brother Branham gave us that it couldn't be eternal? It was based on Adam. That Adam covenant was based on him. It was based on what Adam would do, and that's why it couldn't be eternal. Bruh, that seems so simple. And so, it's just simple. And that nothing, it seems like it don't mean no big deal or anything. Why was it that God could not build an eternal covenant upon a man? How come? And yet he turned right around and gave Abraham a covenant, and it was eternal. But it was a different covenant. Adam, you know, I had to excuse the cough drop. It's better than coughing. I had a cold for a couple days now. So Adam's covenant was based on what Adam would do, and Abraham's covenant was based on what God had already done. So his was based on predestination. It's what God has already done, right? He's already predestinated us by his foreknowledge. And now here's the other thing. Adam wasn't the word yet. And I know a lot of people might argue with me on that. And he was coming to be. But the prophet told us that Adam was behind the word. And that Christ was the word.
Amen.
See, there's two different covenants. One is I've already done it, predestination. And one is if you do this, I'll do this. So one, and here's the other thing. When Adam come to earth, what happened? When Adam come to be into creation, Brother Ram said that whenever God thinks something, and then he says it, and then he manifests it. But he said with us, that's not what happened. And with Adam, that's not what happened. With Adam, he said, He thought Adam, and then Adam was created. He went around the spoken word part. You see what I'm saying? Adam, Brother Branham said, Adam had not become the word yet. I can show you that in a couple different ways, but just by him saying Adam is behind the word and Jesus was the word, that should be enough. And he said that more than one time. And then he told us in Melchizedek that Adam went around the word and come down here. If that covenant wasn't eternal, how could Adam be the word? I'm asking you. You think about it. And I've looked at this for a long time, so I'm not coming up here and jumping around. Because I know what he said. Adam was put there because of what had to happen for redemption to take place. All right, so Adam was behind the word, and yet Jesus was the word. And we're going to read a lot of this here in just a few minutes. I'm not going to just leave you hanging to tell you stuff. Because if you're like me, the word is your absolute. Is that right? Because Brother Ram said the only thing good that ever comes in this life is when you have an absolute to work from. And if you have the word as your absolute, then what's going to come is eternal. So now, the last thing I wanted to mention is from Adam's covenant, when he fell, that covenant produced chaos and death, and time started, and man needed redemption. And so then the one that come through Abraham produced Christ and gave us eternal life. So let's start in this message. Possessing the gate of the enemy after trial. That's a very interesting way to, you possess the gate of the enemy after the trial. And remember, if you never was in God's thoughts, you'll never be with God. It's what we just said a while ago. He's his thought, and then he speaks it, and then he manifests it. So how many knows that he was a redeemer? Well, then anything redeemed has to come back to where it fell from. And you hear a lot of times, you hear Brother Bram say, redeem back to Adam and Eve again. What does he mean by that? Well, then anything redeemed has to come back to where it fell from. So if he come to redeem us, how could we, was one time didn't have to be redeemed. Now he's going to tell you what it means when he's talking about being redeemed back. How could we, was one time didn't have to be redeemed. There was a time that there was nothing wrong with us. There was a time that Adam and Eve was behind the word. Nothing had took place yet. They were behind the word. And Brother Ram said, they looked like God. Standing behind the word, they looked like him. It shows that the real Christian, So if he come to redeem us, how could we, was one time didn't have to be redeemed, and we are all born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to this world speaking lies. It shows that the real Christian is an attribute of God's thinking. So see, there was a part that didn't fall. So Adam come from thought to creation. And then he fell along with Eve. It shows that the real Christian is an attribute of God's thinking. Why does it show that? Why does that statement show that the Christian is an attribute of God's thinking? What did Jesus say? He said, how is it that there was one time we didn't need to be redeemed, and then yet we're born and we need to be redeemed? So he's pointing to the fact that we're an attribute of God's thinking because that's when we weren't needing to be redeemed. All right. I'm going to go slow. And if I don't get but three pages done this morning, we'll start somewhere else. I'm getting in too big a hurry, and the Lord spanked me for that, and I'm not going to do it no more. I'm going to go whatever slow speed there is, and I'm sorry if it's too slow, or I'm sorry if I repeat myself, but I don't want to miss something. And amen. I'm here for one reason.
Amen.
God put this on my heart, and I feel like that it's edifying.
Amen.
And that's what I'm here for.
Yes,
and so
yes,
I don't want us to miss that. Okay. It shows that the real Christian is an attribute of God's thinking before there was a world or a star or air or anything else. It's eternal. And he comes to redeem us back. Redeem us back. It's God's thought spoken to a word and made manifest, brought back to his thought. See, that's where we're redeemed back to. We're redeemed back to that spoken word thought. And what did Brother Branham say? We were the spoken seed word. The bride is the spoken seed word. And Brother Branham said that a seed abideth alone, it has to fall into the ground. What happened to Adam? Adam had to fall into the ground. That was the spoken seed word. Adam was the spoken seed word. He had to go in the ground and it come up in a new covenant. Because that's what it was meant all the time to be. All right. Kinsman Redeemer. That's the reason God himself has to come, become one of us to redeem. Nothing else could do it. He had to become a human to do it. An angel couldn't do it. Nothing else. He had to come down. He be tempted like we are to redeem us. All right, so we're going to go in here and get into the identified masterpiece of God. And we're going to talk about how God paints that picture that we were talking about earlier. Remember, there's only one form of eternal life. Even our names and our thoughts were with God before there was the foundation of the world. Your thoughts and your name was in his mind. Before there was a foundation of the world, because now we possess eternal life. We know that. We know that we were in that thought because now we have eternal life. Because that's the only way to have it. And to be that, we have to be part of God. So we have to be as much as he, as in his thoughts, because we have eternal life and was predestinated to this life. We were predestinated to it. And our names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, according to Revelation. Now, that God has us in his thinking, then we have eternal life. Because he has us in our thinking, he's going to give us eternal life. Because Brother Bram said he was going to share his eternal life with man, he was going to do it in one way. And that was through Jesus Christ. Not through a covenant with Adam. Correct. Of course, that Adam covenant had to happen in order for this other to happen. Yeah. And our names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Now that he has us in his thinking, then we have eternal life, because when he spoke us and we come into existence and the word is just a thought manifested, God had us in the beginning in his thoughts. And when he made Adam, that first man, how perfect it was. He looked like God. Remember what we were talking about a while ago? He looked just like God, but he was behind the word. Remember that. God, the great Holy Spirit, brooding over the earth. He comes out, maybe, in the animals and different things, and keeps coming more in the form of one that was brooding. So he broods all these things out of the earth. God's painting his picture. Mm-hmm. He's got something in his mind, and he's creating. He's bringing these things out of the earth. He had to create the earth first, mm-hmm. and then he's bringing the things out of the earth. And it's the Holy Spirit brooding over them, bringing them up. It's such a beautiful picture. Until finally, there come up a species just exactly like the one that was doing the brooding. Man was made in the image of God. And we know that was a spirit. And then when he placed him in the great garden, like Michelangelo has placed his great life's work and all great sculptors, God placed his handiwork in the Garden of Eden and made him a helpmate. What a complete satisfaction it was to God. Till even he rested. Now this kind of escapes people sometimes. Brother Ram said he rested. He was done. Look what the next word he said. It was just the rest. His work had been finished. Mm-hmm. Amen. Think about that. The fall hadn't even come. Redemption hadn't even started. But here he was. He was finished. His work was done. You can dwell on that one for a while. Meditate on that for a while. Then the sad story comes of the enemy. Now notice, this one thing I want you to hear, bear in mind, that God gave this man a protection. When he created Adam, he gave him a protection. He fortified him inside of his word because he told them what they could do and what they could not do. See that covenant? Mm-hmm. Don't do this. You can do this, but don't do this. Not, I'm going to do it in you, Adam. You don't do this, Adam, and you can do this, Adam. And that's the same basis that we're set on today. I thought Chris just told you that covenant was for Adam only. Well, just keep listening. That's the same basis we're set on today. What we can do, what we cannot do. No matter how good we are, how much we go to church or do this, we got to be born again. Amen. See, it must be. And God told Adam what he could do and what he could not do. He placed him behind the word. Now, why would he go to all that trouble explaining to us that instead of just saying Adam was the word? He goes to all this trouble to show how he placed Adam behind the word. Now, keep listening. And then the enemy come in. Oh, now we see. He put Adam behind the word. And then the enemy come in by deceit and crawled through the walls of God's word. And how did he do that? We know how he did that. In Eve, he crawled through the walls. She let down the bar. Because Adam would have never have been deceived. We know that. And Eve, if she'd have been in the original creation, she couldn't have been deceived. But we know what happened. Y'all been taught. So I get to save and not have to talk about all those things. But you know, I just wanted to keep it in your mind. And the enemy come in by deceit, crawled through the walls of God's word, because the door was open to him. Eve opened the door to him. And he, Satan, marred the image, the one that God was so pleased with, the one that looked like God, because he was behind the word, he was marred by Satan, because he got through the wall of God's word. One of these saddest stories, to think that the man that was made in the image of his creator and was given a wall to stand behind, that word would never fail. That's the Christian's hope. You think, just for something to think about, Brother Ram said that Adam went around the word and come down here. Do you think that has anything to do with why he was behind the word and he wasn't the word? Just think about it. To think that the man who was made in the image of his creator and was given a wall to stand behind. Now, he never says this about Jesus. Not one time does he ever say this about Jesus. Not one time. He said Jesus was absolutely born the word. He didn't even become the word down at the river. He was born the word. Right. Brother Bram said at 9 years old, he was correcting his mama when she said, "Your daddy and I." Mm-hmm. He said, "Who is my mother and who is my father?" But he never said that about Adam. I'm not trying to tear down Adam. I'm trying to get us to see what happened through Adam. You know what I'm saying? And when the enemy come in, I done got that, behind the wall that would never fail. That's the Christian's hope. It's his shield. It's his armor. It's his rock today is stay behind the word, every believer. Now, you must never get from behind that. When you do, you're opening the door to the enemy. You see that? Just like Adam and Eve did. And when they say, "Oh, well, you can do a little of this and a little of that. You know, you can play around with the world just a little bit. We can watch this movie or we can watch that movie." Well, I'm telling you what. You know, all these people talk about they're going to put on the mask and they're going to do the stuff with their, keep their hands clean and all these things. And I got no problem with that. I even do it sometimes. The problem is, Brother Ram said, they'll do all that, but then cram some spiritual something down their throat that's nasty and full of bugs and maggots.
Yes, sir.
And so listen to what he's saying here. I can have a little of this and a little of that. You can't have a little of any of Satan and have God. God has got something for you. You're made like that. I skipped it. I'm sorry. God wants to you to separate yourself from everything that's called sin.
Amen.
Everything that isn't God's word, he wants you to get away from it. Completely set aside for him. You're setting yourself aside for him when you get away from those things. And for he only. He has a purpose in your life, each individual, that no one else on the face of the earth can take your place. God has got something for you. You are made like that. You was did that way for a purpose. God is sovereign in his work. Now, I looked up the word sovereign because you always hear that about kings. Sovereign means you got absolute, complete control.
Amen.
Over something. There's nothing that you don't have control over. So God has complete control in his work. He even, things different. We're different one from another. We notice in the animal life, we find out in animal life that there's one animal. God made a beast of burden, like the horse, and he has to work. And the cow is a sacrifice. But the lion and the tiger roams the forest without any labor or anything. He made a big, great big animal like an elephant and then made a little bitty fella like a mouse. Now, who is there to tell God what to do and how to do it? Isn't that interesting? I never thought about that myself. Some of these, the lion just walks around. He don't have to do anything. Just run down, get something to eat, and then lay around. But a cow gets used for food. He's raised just for that. Pigs too. He made a big animal like an elephant and then made a little bitty fellow like a mouse. Now, who is there to tell God what to do and how to do it? He does it his own way. And he makes the mountains. He makes the deserts. He makes the seas. He makes the plains. He makes one kind of tree, hardwood, palm, and so forth. He does it. He makes men different. He gives us each one a different place. And a palm tree can never be a hickory. And a hickory can never be a palm. And nobody can take your place. Right. And you shouldn't try to take anybody else's place.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are an individual to God. And God has a purpose for you. He made you thus. See, that's where we can have peace. Right there, in that place that he's put for us, made for us. And you're not going to get there, and you're not even going to find out what that is unless you lay this world aside. The sun difference. Well, I was really skipped down there. Because you're an individual to God, and God has a purpose for you. He made you thus. You say, why did he do it? He is sovereign. He's got a reason for being that way. But we find out that we're all guarded by the word. In heaven, we look at the celestial bodies. The Bible says that even one star differs from another. There is Sirius and different ones. And Mars and Jupiter, all those different ones, different one from another. The sun differs from the moon and the moon from the stars. And there's angels and such, and seraphims and cherubims, and angels and great angels in degrees. And even in the new world to come, the kings of the earth bring their honor into the city. Now, he's bringing all this up for a reason. Just keep hanging with me there. And even in the new world to come, the kings of the earth bring their honor into the city. And we're always going to be that way. Because God is not a Sears and Roebuck Harmony House. And I looked that up. And back in the 60s and 70s, a Harmony House had like three or four colors. You'd pick them out, and I didn't know this, and then that's the way you'd make your house. And so everybody had this cookie cutter house, and everybody's looked about the same because it had these three or four colors, and they would use it. I'm sure I'm not explaining that right, but if you look it up, you'll see what I'm talking about. But he's a God of variety. He makes one way and one another. But we must serve him in the way that God made us.
Amen.
And be glad to stay behind his word. Amen. We want to stay behind his word until we become the word. And that's the way God did it. But we find out that the enemy got through that word to this, the handiwork of God, and he marred it. Brother Branham talked about that old Adam nature. Where did that old Adam nature come from? Satan marred him. You got one. God, I keep losing my place. I am so sorry. We find that the enemy got through the word to this, the handiwork of God. He marred it. And that's exactly what he's doing now. He's slipping through that handiwork. And how's he doing it? Getting you just to not separate. Just somewhere not separate from unbelief. The enemy is trying to take us a world council of churches. Why man can't even agree with one another. How are we going to have a whole world agree with a man? As soon as you do that, we got one we must keep in harmony with, and that's God.
Amen.
And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word remains God and always will be God, because God is the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us in the person of the Son of God. Now we find out that after he found this great marring, after he found out that his garden was destroyed, looked like, had been you and me, we'd have, and so he's saying us, we would have just threw up our hands and said, just forget it, I'm going to do something else.
Amen.
But not God. Looked like had been you and I, we'd had put all that time and effort, we'd have kicked the thing over and just let it go. But not God. Now that was, he was getting ready to use this. He'd brought it to pass. He'd set it in place, and now here it had come to be. Now he was getting ready to use it. Satan thought he got one over on God, and God was just using him.
Amen.
And the Word remains God and always will be God. Now we find out that after he found this great marring, looked like, had it been me and you, we would have just give up on it. All right, I'm finding my place here. But not God. He was not willing to let his work go to ruin. That's the love of God. No wonder the poet said, and I took that song out. If y'all want to go back and look at the song, you can go back and look at the song. See the love of God? After man had fallen and deliberately opened the door to the enemy. Deliberately. If he had been the Word, could he have deliberately opened the door to the enemy? Think about it. If he had not come around the Word and been placed behind the Word, could he have opened the door? I don't care if Eve had went and done what she done or not. Could he still have done it anyways? Could Christ have done it? Think about it. Christ was the Word. This man was behind the Word.
Amen.
This man could be marred. There's no way you could mar Christ.
Right.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, and when I'm telling you all these things, I don't have another point. You know, as Brother Branham said, a lot of times, you know, I'm not trying to build this platform and convince you of something so I can convince you of something else and convince you of something else. Brother Branham said, a lot of times we only going to see one step. But if we're not willing to take the one step, we're not going to see the next one. And he says that more than one time. We have to be willing. And this is in the Word. We don't know why it's there and what it means for sure. But we have to take the step. If we want to pass it off and make it, you know, Brother Branham did not spend, you know, however how many hours. I don't know how many hours the messages are. Probably 3,000 or 4,000 hours of ministering. He did not spend that run the tires off of cars all over the United States, fly around the world so many times, just because he liked it. Amen. He said these things for a reason. Yes. Brother Branham said, when the prophet comes on the scene, God is fixing to speak. So if we believe that, then when we look at these things, we have to believe they're God. We have to believe that God has spoken. It has to be an absolute, you see? Because if it's not an absolute, you're not going to get anything from it. You're wasting your time. So many people in this message want to, yeah, he was a prophet, he was that. You might as well just leave it alone. You might as well just get away, because you're not hurting, you're not helping anything. And then I hear so many people take it back to the scripture. I'm like, brother, if you think this wasn't the interpretation of the scripture, you need to get away from this message, because you're doing nothing but causing problems. Take it back to the scripture. This was the fulfillment of the scripture. Amen. Every time I hear that, it just wants, it makes me want to scream. Not in anger, Amen. But in just how totally deceived that person is away from God. In the beginning was the Word. All right, let me see where I was. Where was I? Do y'all remember? Okay, the great morning. Okay, see the love of God. After man had fallen and deliberately opened the door to the enemy and come in and marred him and set death in him. Adam didn't have death in him, but now he has death set in him because of what he done. And still God, not willing that this be defeated, he came down and started over again. He come down, and Brother Bram said, how did he find out? He said he looked and Adam was hiding in the bushes and wouldn't come out. Because he said he was naked. And Adam had already tried to cover himself up with fig leaves. And Brother Branham says he comes down and he starts over. Right there. And what did he do? He went and killed a lamb. And he dressed them in the blood and skin of those lambs. Right then he started back. That was his intention the whole time. You ain't going to find a preacher in this world that brought a message like this. You're not going to find him.
Sure.
And he made it live. That to me just is just, there's so many things you can read in the Bible and you're kind of confused. But when you read what he says, it's so beautiful what happened. He come down and he started over again. He was going to make that man again. Going to make him again. And he's going to redeem him. And what did we say a while ago? He said, in order to redeem him, he has to take him back to when he didn't need to be redeemed. All right. He put Adam on a covenant. Do this and not this. This and not that. Touch not, handle not, taste not. But we find out when he started again, he started with Abraham. And in Abraham, he started him on an unconditional covenant. Now you hear grace. But it was grace the very first moment when he killed that lamb and he dressed them in that so that Brother Branham said they could actually have a little bit of fellowship by that covering, by that type. And here he comes on down and he starts to unveil grace some more with Abraham. And he says, you find out when he started again, he started with Abraham. And Abraham, he started him with an unconditional covenant. Not if you will, I have. Not if you will, I have. I've already done it. I've blessed you, you and your seed, so forth, after you. Now, did God just do that? Or had he always done it? Before the fall even come, before he even put Adam under that other covenant, this was the word. Brother Ram said when he got done, he was finished. And this is just the unfolding of that. So God, he put Adam under that covenant. I've already blessed you and your seed and so forth after you. It was an unconditional covenant. He started with Abraham, his workmanship again. And now with his unconditional covenant, then we find out he based on Abraham and give him the covenant unconditional with the promise. And we know, Brother Bram, Paul said that we're all seeds of Abraham. Placed us all. We're all, he's our father. The children of the faith, he's our father. So let's go to the message, Jehovah Jireh. So God separated, cut, see, the body, the bride of Christ, was to come right back to the first. Has to come back to the first. What was Eve? Her and Adam was the same. No, now we're getting back. Remember what he said a while ago? He has to take us back to when we didn't need to be redeemed. But then he said, we went around the word. So keep thinking about that. See, the body, the bride of Christ, has to come right back to the first. And what was Eve? Her and Adam was the same. They were all called Adam. Her and Adam together was called Adam. They were spirit. And this is before he made a man and put him in the flesh. And he formed man the first time. He made him in his own image, and God is a spirit. And in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And then there was no man to till the soil. So when he created Adam and Eve as one spiritually, they still didn't have a body. And in a minute we're going to read that Brother Branham, when God spoke out and the Logos come into be, that you were in that. We were in Christ in the Logos. But we come around that to come down here, Brother Branham said, and be tested. Because our life and our predestination was in Christ. It's a big picture, but it's beautiful. All right, God separated and cut, and we got that. He formed man the first time. He made him his own image. There's still no man to till the soil. And then God formed man out of the dust of the earth and put this dual spirit into him. So when he gave him a body, they were still together. You see that? Now you think about it. We're in Christ the same. Brother Ram said when he went to the cross, we went to the cross in him. What did he? And we'll get to that in a minute. I don't want to say too much too quick. And God formed him out of the dust of the earth and put this dual spirit into him. And that was the first Adam. And then when he separated Eve from Adam, Eve fell by disbelieving the word. That's right. That's where the church failed today. Disbelieving the word. But in this case, to the royal seed, called predestinated to eternal life. There it is. He says predestinated to eternal life. I have already done it, Abraham. That's what he's talking about. The royal seed of Abraham. They believe the word. I don't care what comes or goes, how much they laugh, who says this, that, or the other. They're ordained to eternal life. And she goes right straight back. She goes right straight back to when she didn't need to be redeemed. Her and her lover, Christ, is one. The life, the spirit that's in Christ is in the church. That's the eternal covenant there. See? God took the spirit of Christ and tore it apart at the sacrifice of Calvary and took that spirit and lifted it up the body and set it on the right hand of the throne of God and the majesty on high. And if you'll go back and look in Genesis 17, when God comes and gives Abraham this covenant, he has Abraham do an offering and tear the sacrifice apart. And this is the fulfillment of that. God took that spirit of Christ and tore it apart at the sacrifice of Calvary, and took that spirit, lifted it up the body, and set it on the right hand of the throne of God and the majesty on high. That's everything in heaven is controlled by him. And when that spirit was upon him, come back the same spirit, not another spirit, the same spirit upon him to confirm the covenant to the royal seed. Yeah. So, and this is in Jehovah Jireh, but this is back in 61. This is where he talks about Genesis 17. So let's get this. Over in Genesis 17, he strengthened Abraham for the miracle. So you go back and read that scripture, you'll see how he strengthened him, what he told him. Well, he's going to tell us now. That's what he's going to, it's what he's doing now, strengthening the church for the miracle. He's strengthening the church. And Brother Branham say, he said, you had to be changed before you could receive the Son. This is in 1961. He's strengthening the church for the miracle. He appeared to him in Genesis 17 in the name of El Shaddai. And Shad means breasted, but Shaddai means breasted one. It means that there it says, Almighty God. The Hebrew word is El Shaddai, the strong one, or Shad means breast, like the woman's breast. But not just Shad, it's Shaddai, which means breasted. And Abraham was 100 years old. And that's what went on when that in Genesis 17, that's when he come to him. He was 90 and 9. And God appeared to him and said, now, Abraham, I made the covenant unconditionally. And when you separated yourself, I blessed you. There's that separating again. And when he's coming to bring that together, I showed you what I was going to do. Now you're 100 years old and your wife is 90. And I'm going to tell you, here's my name to you. I'm the breasted God. Oh my, two breasts. He was wounded for our transgressions. And with his stripes, we were healed. And like a little baby that's sick, its health is gone and it's fretting and crying. And the mother takes that little baby and brings it up to her bosom and holds her there. And I got to thinking about that. And he's typing us with the word.
Amen.
And you've seen babies eat. You've seen how they have one intention, buddy. That's to eat. And everything else is no consequence to them. And any hint that that breast is there, they're going to die for it.
Amen.
You've seen babies do that. Well, I just thought about that. God's word showing itself and us wanting to move for it and get it, you know, because that's what he's talking about, because we're going to nurse ourselves from the word. Two breasts. The mother takes the little baby and brings it to her bosom, holds it there, and the little baby nurses the mother's strength into it. That's what you are here sitting in the chair, mother. That's what you are, young man, sitting in the wheelchair. In other words, he's talking to them while he's ministering this morning. You're taking in what I'm saying. And that's what you're doing right now, this moment. You're nursing. That's, brother, that's powerful. And the little baby nurses. Oh, I got hit there. That's what you are out there with the cancer when the doctors give you up. That's what you are with heart trouble. Whatever it is, see, you're Abraham's seed and he's El Shaddai. And oh, if you have need for your sins, lean upon his promise. Nurse your strength to salvation. Lean upon, nurse from that word and consider it your absolute. That's the only way to do it. And if you're backslid, come back. Take a hold of the promise. Nurse it until you feel yourself growing strength, stronger. And if you need healing for your body, listen to what he's saying. If you need healing, by his stripes we're healed. Nurse on that, mm-hmm. on that word, because that is God in word form.
Yes,
until your strength begins to grow, you begin to feel, and not only that, it's a satisfier. In other words, until you get your strength back, you can be satisfied until then. The woman's breast is a satisfier to her baby. And God's promised breast is a satisfier to the believer. As long as God said so, what difference does it make? It's a satisfier, the strength giver. Oh my. Not only that, you know, Brother Bram said, the scripture says, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. That's what this is. He gave you that ability to recognize God.
Amen.
And he drew you to him. And that's what he's talking about here. And not only just recognize God as your Savior, but as your healer, Jehovah Jireh, he's your provider, period.
Amen.
Not only that, but it's a satisfier. Okay, I got that. Not only that, it satisfies the baby. It don't fret and carry on anymore. It ain't altogether strong, but is satisfied as long as it's God's mother's breast. Oh, brother, nursing her strength, not its strength, her strength. You see that? He's nursing strength from mama. We're nursing strength from God. Not my will, thy will, not what I think, what you said. Amen. That does it. That's, see that separation again?
Yeah.
Not what you think, what the word says. That's the only thing that's going to make you satisfied. Abraham leaned right on that bosom for 25 years.
Yes,
the promise that God had given him, he leaned on it. Never turned it loose. Amen. How can a mother keep her baby? How can a mother keep her baby satisfied if she lets it go off the breast all the time, nursing its strength? How can she keep him when she won't keep him on the breast? How's that baby going to get satisfied? How can the baby ever get well and get strong as long as he just tries, acts like he's going to nurse, and then goes away and won't and refuse it anymore? That's it. Oh, brother. See what he's talking about?
Yes,
people won't. They don't want to wait. They don't want to rest it. Your brother Holmes used to talk about it. They don't want to drive a post down and point Satan back to that.
Yes, sir.
That post is where you tied your absolute to, was God's word. All right, let's pick up in C does not err with the shuck. Now, we talked about a while ago how that Eve, when God created Adam and Eve, spirit, that they were one, and they were called Adam. And then when he put them in the body, he put both of them in one body. So now let's look at this, what he says about the Logos, and see if it don't compare up to it. He was God, the Logos, the word that went out of God. When he began to brood over the earth and brought forth marine life, then the Spirit of God, the Logos, the Word, which God said, let there be, and there went the Logos. When God spoke, let there be, that was the Logos going out. Brother Bram said, when the Logos went out, it wasn't a piece of God, like his arm went off or he vomited something up or something like that. It was God changing his form, he said. When he said, let there be, and there went the Logos, which is the Word. And the Word began to cause all that was in the Logos, the whole Word of God, the whole Bible for every age was in that Logos.
Amen.
And if you're part of the Word, that means you was there too.
Yes, sir.
And as the Logos began to breathe upon the earth, that Logos has everything in it. Mm-hmm. And it begins to breathe upon the earth. It's going to bring everything that's in it to being.
Amen.
That's what I was trying to point out a while ago. When it was brooding upon the earth and started to bring these first things out, the animals and the different things. And finally, there comes something. I'm sorry. And as the Logos began to breathe upon the earth, there come marine life and building up the bird life and on up to the animal life. And finally, there comes something in the representation or looked like the thing that was brewing it, brooding over it. So something in creation looked like God. God, it, brooding over it, God, a man in the very image of God. And that man fell, like the seed has to fall. And when God began to brood over that after the fall, now we just read that in a different way a while ago. Remember what we read a while ago about how that he started right back because he was not willing for them to be, for the creation that he'd done, he's not willing for it to be just destroyed. So here he's talking about that again. This, like the seed has to fall. And when God began to brood over that after the fall, he brought up an Enoch. He brought up an Elijah. He brought up a Moses. He brought up prophet after prophet. The same Holy Ghost, the same Logos that was brooding over the earth when he was creating it before the fall, is still brooding after the fall. Mm-hmm. Remember we talked about the eternal. Brother Ram talked about it. I think Katrina was talking this morning about Sister Eleanor had wrote a song about the scarlet thread. It was that eternal that's still there. that still was there when the fall come. There was still that eternity that was still there. He brought up prophet after prophet, trying to restore that image again. See this Holy Spirit brooding? It's going to bring that image to be, period. And finally, upon the earth came the genuine image of God Himself again, which was God, the Logos made flesh and dwelt among us. Think about that, brother and sister. Finally, all this brooding through one prophet prophesying this was going to happen and this was going to happen. Then it happened and this and bringing it until Brother Ram said it prophesied in Isaiah 9:6, unto us a son is born. Unto us, I can't remember how it goes. But Brother Bram said that went around and around the world waiting for Mary to be born and for it to be the right time to drop in her heart. Brooding, the Holy Spirit brooding, making the path and bringing it still. And the Logos began. Okay. The genuine image of God Himself, which was God, the Logos, made flesh. Now, Adam went around the Logos. I'm going to read that to you here at the end of the service. But this one did not. This was the Logos made flesh. See the difference? And you see how he names it the genuine image of God Himself. The Logos made flesh and dwelt among us. Not somebody put behind the Logos, but somebody who is the Logos made flesh.
Amen.
And now the same Logos has a part. Here we come. He has got a bride. The same Logos. This word that cannot be tampered with. The one that can't fall. Is brooding over the churches today, trying to bring back the word to its full manifestation. The prophets was carriers of that seed. See, they weren't it. They were carriers of it. The church denominations has been carriers of it. They haven't been it. They've been carriers of it. Now notice, and that's that thin red scarlet line, those carriers. And the church denominations had been carriers to the seed, to the seed now. Now notice quickly, but like the shuck hugs and holds the seed now, then it leaves her. Jesus was God, he was. His Father was the great Logos itself, and he could not pour it all into Moses, for he was a prophet. But he poured it all into Christ. All right, so let's talk about, we got a couple more places, and then I'll read you the quotes about Adam coming around, but let's get this one first. This is in the unveiling of God. And that's God. He changed himself from a pillar of fire to become a man. And you know what Brother Ram said the pillar of fire was? He said that is the Logos. Pillar of fire is the Logos. And think about it. The pillar of fire, the Logos, was over the children of Israel. Stayed over that word. It hovered by the prophet. We actually got pictures of it being by the prophet. And I think it was there all the time. We just got a picture of it here and there, but it was there all the time. Because Brother Bram said that the Shekinah glory in that temple was there over the word. And that Shekinah glory over the word brought forth the bread to the people. And you think about that. Here we are. The word comes to the prophet.
Amen.
And the prophet has been manifested and the Shekinah glory is hanging there over him. And it's bread to the people.
Amen.
If people could see that, they'd quit saying that about take it back to the scripture.
Amen.
All right. So, pillar fire, become a man, then changed himself from that back in the spirit again, that he might dwell in man. God acting in man, what he really was. Jesus Christ was God acting in man.
Amen.
Now you can search this message from the beginning to the end, and he never said that about Adam. At least I've never found it. If you find it, you tell me, because I've looked. God was acting in man. In man. Now he's going to make a real difference about through man and in man here. Watch close. God acting in man, what he really was. Remember he said he couldn't pour himself into Moses because he was just a prophet. So he was acting through man there. That he might dwell in man. God acting in man that he really was what he really was. Jesus Christ was God acting in man, in a man. In a man. That's what he was. He had changed from the pillar of fire. Then had come in, which was the veil in the wilderness. The veil for God in the wilderness was the pillar of fire. And hid God from Israel. And Moses seen the shape of his body, but really he was hid all the time behind this pillar of fire, which was the Logos that went out from God. So you remember Brother Bram talking about in these other scriptures, the Logos was there brooding and over bringing these things to pass. You think he's over the prophets and he's over these others and he's not brooding and bringing it to pass? He's still doing the same thing. But really, he was hid all the time behind this pillar of fire, which was the Logos that went from God. And now we find here, now since Pentecost, God is not acting in man. He's making it real clear for us. Now he's acting through man. Remember what Brother Ram talked about? That he's Son of Man and then Son of God through the church ages, and then he's Son of Man again. Here he's talking about that in another way. God is not acting in man. Now he's acting through man. See? He was acting in man then, Jesus. Now he's acting through man that he's chosen for this purpose. God in the form of man, he changed himself from the form of God to a form of man. Now, when he said here that he emptied himself... This is in the same message. This is a little further down. He's talking about God emptying himself out and the Logos coming. Now, when it said here that he emptied himself or poured out, now we would think like this, that he vomited up. That's what people would think. Something poured out of God that was in him. This English word of emptied or poured out from him, see, something went out of him that was different from him. That's what people think. But the word kenos in the Greek does not mean that he vomited up, his arm went off, or his eye went out, or another person. So he didn't divide him up. He didn't like divide himself up here. That is, and here's what happened. That when the Logos went out, he changed himself. He poured himself into another mask. He just showed himself differently into another form. Brother Bram said, you can't have a word unless you think a word first. And here we have God, all of his thoughts, and then he speaks. He changed himself into another form. Not another person went out of him called the Holy Spirit, but it was he himself formed himself into that Holy Spirit. You get it? He himself poured himself into the people, Christ in you. Not Christ through you, Christ in you. How beautiful, how wonderful to think God poured himself into the human being, amen, into the believer, pour out. It was a part of his drama to do so. God, all the fullness, all the Godhead bodily was in this person, Jesus Christ. He was God and God alone. Not a third person or a second person or a first person, but the person. There's only ever going to be one person. No matter how many manifestations and how many masks and how many forms, it's just the one person, God. Now, what does that make you? What does that make us? We're a part of his art. We're a part of his expression. God veiled in human flesh. Okay, so when he made his first masterpiece, he put him behind the word. So he called Adam a masterpiece because he was in the image of God. He put him behind the word. When he made his second masterpiece, he was the word. There, all that's there for a reason, brother and sister.
Amen.
He was the word, not behind the word. See, he's being very specific, making you think, I just didn't range in words that way. I did it on a purpose. I did it on purpose. But he was the word. God never changes his plan. That's exactly what he started off to do his church with, the word. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5. So now, God all along was going to manifest you from that Logos, just like he did Christ. But in order to do that, you had to fall so that you could get life through the redemption and through the sacrifice that Christ made, him being a Messiah. So that's the way you had to come. Brother Branham talks about that in Who's Melchizedek. We'll get this one more here. 2 Corinthians 5:1. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, this earthly tabernacle, we have another one. See, we bypass that and come straight from God. The attribute to the flesh. To be tempted and tested by sin, like Adam did. So we're just like Adam. Adam's just like us when it comes to that. Adam wasn't born like us, but he still was marred. But when the testing of the word is over, then we're taken up to this body. And what did Brother Branham say in this day that we had heard from our theophany? When we are taken up to this body that was prepared for us beyond before the foundation of the world, when the testing of the word is over, we're taken up. Does that sound like a rapture to you?
Amen.
It is the word that we skipped. It's the word we skipped. To come around down here to be tempted and tested. And if we'd have come through that, remember what I said about Adam a while ago? If we'd have come through that, there'd have been no temptation. So nothing could have happened there in the garden if they'd have come through that. If we'd have come through that, there had been no temptation. We'd have known all things. That's the reason that Jesus knowed all things, because he was the Word before he was flesh. See, then we become the Word. So Brother Ram said, I'm going to let you go here in just a second. But Brother Ram said, if you'll read in the questions and answers in 64, somebody asked him to explain the translation. And in that explanation, he talks about how that from this new birth, the word begins to build from that new birth. Now, he never said that about any other age. That's this age. And when you think about him saying that, about being born of the word of this age, and he says here, it's the word we skipped around to come right down to be tempted and tested. And if we come through that, I missed the word up here. But when the testing of his word is over, then we're taken up to this body. And so that's what I believe, brother and sister, is the resurrection. I believe it's taking place. And people think it's got to be this way and it's got to be that way. And they got all their ideas, just like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Everybody's got their ideas about it. But if we don't just take what he said in the word and take one step at a time, we're going to be just like that. We're going to have our own little ideas and things about stuff. So,
amen.
I was going to get more on the soul this time, but I decided to go this way a little bit more first before we get to the soul. So Wednesday we'll get back on the soul. So we'll ask if you'll stand.